Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, I'm Chris Danish, your host at Voices of Women. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, and we have been empowering women through an annual conference every February since 1993. So we have an amazing time. We're gearing up for our 27th annual conference. It's February 15th to the 17th in Seattle. Our theme this year is Spark Our Creative Fire, Dance in Power and Beauty, and we intend to do that. We bring together some amazing presenters. I've been interviewing them all this month and in January, and we come together to share our stories and have healing experiences, witness each other, and as a result, transform our personal and collective consciousness. So you can attend Saturday or Sunday or both days and experience in-depth workshops in creative arts, spirituality, body, mind, spirit, healing, movement, and manifestation, and so much more. The registration fee includes our community activities and meals, including our special banquet on Saturday evening. So we invite you to join us. We're also going to have a special event this year. It's a new musical written by Pamela Gerke, Nightingale, a musical regarding the life and passion of Miss Florence Nightingale, and that's all these events are going to be held at North Seattle College in Seattle. So check out our website, womanofwisdom.org, and look for the 2019 conference page. So today I'm interviewing Catherine Kelly, Dr. Catherine Kelly. She's giving a workshop on Saturday, February 16th, called Women's Radiance, Harnessing the Power of the Feminine Soul. And excuse me, but I feel like I'm going to sneeze. Oh, geez. Dr. Catherine T. Kelly is a former medical school professor, current holistic health psychologist, author, speaker, and transformational travel leader. She was named the pioneer of soul health after writing her Amazon number one best-selling book, Soul Health, Aligning with Spirit for Radiant Living. Dr. Kelly travels the country teaching her revolutionary model to those who want to align their lives through conscious evolution. She holds both a master's and doctoral degree in counseling psychology, master's of science degree in public health, and received specialized training from Harvard's Mind-Body Medical Institute. She's a certified soul realignment practitioner and past life regression therapist, and is trained in various holistic practices. So you can read all about her and find out what she does at her website, drcatherinetkelly.com. So welcome, Catherine.
Yeah, hi. It's great to be here.
Yes. Well, we're on opposite coast. You are over on the East Coast now, and excited that you're going to be coming to Seattle soon.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and it's exciting to hear that it's your 27th. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, most conferences don't last that long, but we're spirit-led, and that keeps us going. So tell us your story of soul health. Why has this become a personal mission for you to help people in this way? And also, I mean, you shifted from being a professor, kind of more aligned with the traditional medical system, and now you are shifting to what you call soul health. So let's talk about that.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, I jokingly say that it's my mission to bring the soul back into mainstream. Because, you know, all ancient cultures talked about the soul and used the soul as their most driving force in life. And the more modernized we've become, the less and less connected we are. And especially in healthcare, you know, all healers used to be spiritual, you know, leaders first. And then basically people would come to them for healing. And so I guess as part of my own evolution, I realized that me being a health psychologist, there's a very key aspect of healing missing, and that was the soul, the deepest part, the essence of who we are. And when you go to the doctor these days, they don't really talk to you about who you are as a person and what you need in order to heal. Excuse me. They talk about kind of the prescription or the idea of how modern medicine wants you to heal. So really, my own evolution came from understanding that a whole health approach to healing is much more effective, and really, that's what people are wanting these days. There are many, many, many more people that are leaving kind of the modern medicine approach and going for holistic practices, and so when I created the Soul Health Model about 12 years ago now, it kind of launched people into a whole different way of thinking. So I'm glad to be able to bring some of that information to you in Seattle.
Right. Well, it even feels, I mean, we've been doing the non-traditional medical route for many years, alternative medicine. And yet when you're talking about soul health and bringing in the soul, that even seems to take it to a deeper level. I don't know that even health practitioners who are in the alternative framework, I haven't heard them use that term. They may, I mean, they have a holistic approach and they probably incorporate some of that in their work. But you're really bringing it forward.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, another author named me the Pioneer of Soul Health, because you don't, if you type in soul health, it's going to come to my website. No other soul health model exists. There's no other, you know, person that's using those terms as directly as I am. And you're absolutely right. I think when we talk about the soul as part of health, it is taking it to probably the deepest level possible, because we have to start thinking about us as individuals rather than the masses. And I think that's where modern medicine has taken, you know, their idea of healing is they go by kind of their protocol or their prescription rather than really going to that deep level of what is going to help a person heal. So when I wrote my book, it was really partially done to help teach healthcare practitioners a more holistic approach. But really, it was there to teach individuals how to take charge of their health in a much deeper and more comprehensive way.
Yeah, so we're the ones responsible for it, and it's being an advocate for yourself and asking all the questions and not, you know, so much we depend on the medical profession to tell us what's wrong, tell us
yes.
what to do, versus us learning for ourselves what feels right and work together with that, not to totally discard it. I don't want to totally discard it because,
certainly,
I mean, medicine has kept us alive for, you know, longer lives now. And I think, you know, you think about, you know, in my spiritual training, the soul is always speaking to us, and the last to kind of listen is the body. And so our health goes wrong when we aren't listening to our emotions and our mental and our spiritual body. It's all in alignment. And the physical is kind of the last to listen. And so when you're getting hit with health issues, it's your soul really hitting you on the head.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, and it throughout the book, I talk about cues from the soul as physical symptoms or emotional symptoms or our interactional kind of symptoms, meaning interpersonal issues that come up. And so I agree completely. It's our physicality that really is trying to just kind of wake us up because we're not listening at a deeper level. And so, you know, I do really try to teach people, you know, how to listen because, you know, if you think back, nowhere in school were we ever taught to listen to our soul reactions. Were, you know, really valued for our thinking. And as everybody knows, our thoughts can lead us in the wrong direction. Our heart can lead us in the wrong direction. But when you get to that gut level or that soul level, it never leads you wrong. So it is an important and key part of, you know, to me, a person's evolution is being able to tune into that part of themselves.
Mm-hmm. So let's take this to a personal level. So how do you apply soul health in your own life, or how have you that, you know, made a change for you?
Well, I think first of all, I want to go back and tell a little story of how this all started for me. And at the time, honestly, I wasn't even aware of it. So way back when I was 9 years old, my dad had an accident, which, you know, kind of blew apart the whole traditional family situation because he was primary breadwinner. There were 5 kids in the family. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Excuse me. All of a sudden, you know, all the roles changed and my dad was medically disabled and was a little bit functional. He could still do a little bit of work from the house, but really he was medically disabled at that point. My mom went back to work and, you know, at 9 years old, I've always been very observant, but I started watching all of the changes and the dynamics and all of the different parts of life that kind of dwindled or wilted or fell apart. So fast forward to graduate school. And when I was in graduate school from a master's degree, at the same time that I started the master's degree, I started working for a student health promotion department of the same university. And in the student health promotion department, I was learning the wellness model for the National Wellness Institute, whereas in the counseling department, I was learning all about sickness and illness. And it was very strange to me that here we are being taught to make people well, but we weren't being taught wellness. And so I was really curious. So I just automatically started forming my own approach, meaning that I was going to take people to wellness, not just back to where they started from. So as time went on, I could really retrospectively look back at my own life and the different times in my life when things were out of alignment. And that's really where I started understanding that there are these 10 key branches of the human condition that all of us, you know, everybody on this planet, the 7.5 billion people on this planet, have to deal with in order to really feel aligned. So I use this every day where if I'm super tired, first thing I do is I tune into what my gut or my soul is telling me to do next rather than try to think my way through it, because a lot of times, you know, we get ourselves into more trouble if we're trying to overthink situations. So from an eating perspective, it's one of those things. I think everybody that I know has a sweet tooth of some sort for the most part. I actually use this to touch base with myself to ask, you know, if I'm, you know, leaning toward going and grabbing a piece of chocolate or a cookie, just a hands-on way, I will stop and ask that deepest part of myself, you know, is this a good idea? And most of the time it says no. And so I use it in very practical ways. And I also use soul health from a kind of a planning ahead way of, you know, if I'm planning a new project, is this really going to align with myself overall and keep me healthy? Or is there some decision that's going to misalign me? So I use it pretty much, you know, I tell people that I live and breathe soul health. And if I ever got a tattoo, it'd probably be the only thing that I wouldn't get tired of. So, yeah, I live and breathe this, and I think I try to do the best I can to help people understand how to use it hands-on.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's really about paying attention and listening to yourself. And sometimes that's just even a physical response, like a gut feeling in your solar plexus, kind of your stomach area, you know, when you get that gut kind of feeling. And like you said, stopping asking yourself when you're reaching for some kind of food or some kind of behavior that you know maybe isn't the best for you. But it's really stopping and paying attention. And it's hard in our busy culture to do that because we're busy working.
Yes.
We're busy taking care of other people and our families and making sure everybody's fed and all those things that we do, especially women, that it can be a struggle. And people are probably wondering, okay, well, that's great you're saying that. How am I going to do that in my life?
Yeah.
I can just hear that voice, you know, going, oh, my goodness, it's a lot of work to, and, you know, it is, in a way it's work, although it doesn't have to be if you can simplify it to how it works for you, but it can feel a little overwhelming.
Yeah, and that is exactly what this book is all about, is teaching you how to align your own life for radiant living. You know, this is an empowerment book. This is about you really understanding what those 10 key branches are for your own life and how to prioritize for yourself. But yeah, it's a very simple process. We just have to slow down, you know, long enough to listen to ourselves and then act upon whatever it is that, you know, our soul is telling us, which that's the part that our head and heart get in the way of oftentimes. It's almost like turning up the dial to what our soul is telling us versus turning down the dial of head, you know, thoughts, which are usually flavored an awful lot by societal expectations or family expectations rather than what is right for us. So it's both listening, but it's also really, really being willing to empower ourselves to live the lives that we know are going to align with ourselves the best, which that part is challenging, especially for women who happen to be givers and who happen to be helpers and caregivers. So it is, it's a process, and that's why I use the word evolution so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll probably go back to that when I make a note, but you have mentioned twice 10 key practices. So why don't we share some of those
so
people know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. If you were to imagine a tree, and if I know you mentioned it earlier, but if you go to my website at www.drkatherinetkelly.com, or if you want to type in thesoulhealthmodel.com, it'll go straight to my website. And the tree itself has 10 key branches, which, again, everybody under the sun basically works to try to create a sense of balance. And there is a pretty key interplay within each one of those branches. And then the soul part of it, to me, is the trunk of the tree that is sustaining to us. And in the actual picture of the tree, the graphic, the trunk comes up in the sense of two hands that are sustaining and holding the rest of the tree. And it's a beautiful graphic. My graphic arts person really nailed it when she when I kind of explained what I wanted, she really came up with a perfect picture. But the 10 key branches are physical, psychological, social, interpersonal, and that's one that I added from what the National Wellness Institute has. You have spiritual, sexual, financial, recreational, environmental, and intellectual or occupational. And, you know, a lot of people think of just physical as health. You know, that's when you ask someone how healthy are you, that's the first thing they think about. But really, you have to think about all of the other 10, the other 9 branches in order to really have that complex and beautiful interplay that really creates such an amazing sense of who humans are. And so those 10 key branches, again, to me, it's the interplay between them that makes us feel radiant. But when we have life happen, you know, and I, you know, use a lot of metaphor, when we have a lightning strike where part of our tree is damaged, so you might have grief or you might have a breakup or you might have a physical illness, we really have to work to know how to balance the other branches that will help sustain the one that's been a little bit damaged, and then it helps regenerate the entirety of the tree. So it's very metaphorical, but it's very easy to understand. The first time you look at it, you might have to kind of glance and really understand the different branches. But then from that point on, it's super easy just to glance at it and know what needs a little work.
Well, I think you made an important point in that, you know, sometimes, okay, it's a physical thing or it's an emotional thing or it's a sexual aspect that we're dealing with, and we tend to focus on that, and that you're saying, well, we have to pay attention to the other parts. The other 9 key practices are interrelated with that, and so you don't just focus on that one thing. You look at how the others can interplay with those and help you, support you in the one that you're dealing with in the moment. And I think we tend to compartmentalize and just think of that, you know, here's our problem, and trying to fix it just from that perspective. And so it creates a more whole picture of what that a lot of things play into this, you know, one issue rather
Absolutely.
Than focusing
and you know,
on the issue.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting is the National Wellness Institute's model has been around since, I believe it was 1959. And they have 6 key components to their model. It's basically a circle, and they have it divided up into basically, you know, slices of the pie. And yet, you know, if you think about the ones that are missing, so there's our physical, psychological, social, environmental, intellectual, occupational, and then later they added spiritual. But the 4 additional ones that I added, financial, I mean, if you are not feeling financially sound or healthy, is that going to affect the rest of you? Absolutely. They do not have an interpersonal branch. They don't have a sexual branch, and they also don't have a recreational branch. So to me, as a therapist who has been doing, gosh, I don't know how many people I've seen in my 31 years of doing some sort of, you know, mental health work, you know, it's those 4 of their branches are very key in a person's health too. So it is the interplay. It is the balance. And, you know, I want to kind of segue this talking about, you know, the topic that I'm going to be speaking at, you know, honoring the power of the feminine soul. If you think about those 10 key branches, for years, women have not been really embraced as far as having whole health. They have not been encouraged to have all of these different branches balanced because, you know, they were so tied and caring for others. And I'm not saying that we aren't still tied to caring for others, but I think it is more more of a nudge now to really balance out a woman's life than it ever has been.
Right, and that brings me to some points that I wanted to ask about, because you do talk about in your description of what you're going to do in the workshop about feminine soul. You know, is there a difference between feminine and masculine soul? What do you mean by, and how do we harness the power of the feminine soul? Because that's what you're motivating people to do, you know, coming to the workshop. That's probably one big aspect they're going to be working on. And I'm sure a lot of people kind of wonder, well, how do I harness this power?
Well, I think first of all, we and granted, I'm speaking to the choir when I say this, given the whole intent of your conference. But women are in this evolution right now that it is pretty much unstoppable at this point. But I think there are still a lot of women out there who haven't embraced moving forward and evolving the way that they want to or the way that they could. And so the whole honoring of the power of the feminine soul means really embracing their radiance and embracing that sense of who they are and allowing that alignment to happen and working toward that alignment. And so there's lots of different things I'm going to do. I'm going to do some visualizations, some meditations. There are some very simple exercises I'm going to walk people through to just on a very basic level teach women how to listen to that soul and trust that soul reaction. Because I think a lot of women have been taught, again, not to really listen to themselves the way they need to. So some really hands-on basic kinds of things. And, you know, one of the other visualizations that I use a lot of times is I use a visualization of teaching people, and in this case it'll be a group of women, who will be wonderful, to actually meet their soul and really have a strong connection with that from this point forward. So that way they can listen, and that way they can ask themselves the questions that will help them balance out these 10 branches. So there's lots that I plan to do during that workshop that will help them harness and really honor that power.
Right. I can hear some women thinking, well, how do I meet my soul, and how do I know it's my soul that I'm meeting? What do you tell people?
It's an experiential thing, and once they meet it, they never doubt it again. And so, you know, it is there's a visualization process that I created about 15 years ago and started doing it in my private practice. And I don't want to give too much away, there's a visual mm-hmm. aspect to it that helps people really tune that dial and really get that very strong connection. And it's just a matter of, like any other muscle, it's a matter of exercising it from that point forward so that they can really use it on a regular basis, and that it's not as hard as time goes on for them to tune into that deepest part of them. So some of it will be through breathing, some of it will be visualization, but I can see why a lot of people would question that, mostly because we are so disconnected from the idea of being in contact with our soul that, it's foreign to us, it's distant to us. So I guess the women who attend will just have to trust that I'm going to get them there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's even trust ourselves that we can get there. There's a lot of trust
Absolutely.
In this too. And trusting
Absolutely.
To harness the power of the feminine within us. Well, another aspect, and I think too, is we are impacted by our ancestors and who have been disempowered of
yes.
This whole patriarchy and all. Mm-hmm. So how are we still being impacted by our ancestors? What do you see?
Well, I'm going to say this from a couple different angles, and I think that's a great question, because there's this whole new, well, not super new, but a new field called epigenetics. And, the whole epigenetics field has really been doing a lot of research on how trauma of our past generations has coded itself within our DNA. And they're doing really amazing research to show how this has affected future generations. And no one can really deny that every generation seems to be much less settled than the previous one. And so it's really curious. So from a DNA level, it's kind of curious. And, I follow it a bit with epigenetics because it is fascinating. That's the researcher part of me. Of course, the soul practitioner part of me also, I personally can't deny the whole thought of past lives and past experiences that we've had that have been programmed into us as well. So I think there's some really good research basis, and I think that the cultural hand-me-downs over the years of our experiences and kind of the residual empowerment or disempowerment come along with us as each generation unfolds. So I think this is just really multifaceted, and that's why, I don't think there's a super easy answer to it. I just think that you know, we have to take all of the layers, not only our individual experiences, but our familial experiences, our ancestral experiences, our cultural experiences. We just have to keep sort of acknowledging all of the layers of our existence and our experiences that are really flavoring us and influencing us from day to day. So it's no no simple definition.
Yeah. No, I like the word layering. It is a layer. It's going like peeling the onion, and a lot of things like we don't know where it comes from. It's like, why do I feel this way? Why? And yet it, you know, like I said, it can be past life. It can be ancestors. It's in our DNA from hundreds of years ago. And maybe if we just acknowledge that instead of, we don't have to try to figure it out and go, well, what ancestor, was that? What happened in their life? It's just like, okay, I'm feeling this. It's impacting me now. How can we, you know, how can we harness this power so that what we're doing is making right the disempowerment, making, clearing it in ourselves so that we can be powerful women. We can live from the base of our soul. Now you're talking about the base of that tree is our soul. And explore how to do that for ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, I have a client that I'm working with right now who is doing some past life work, and she's also very interested in sort of the whole ancestral trees through, you know, some of the commercial businesses that are out there, you know, the DNA testing. And she really wants to find out if she was one of her old grandmothers. And I personally don't get the feeling like she is or was, but on the other hand, you know, like you said, she's so tied into figuring it out that I think she's missing the point with helping her move on currently. And so, yeah, I don't think it necessarily completely matters. I think it's just a matter of, you know, how do you let your life evolve now, and how do you, I guess, make the best use of your time and listening to your soul and guiding you.
And there is a healing aspect of knowing the stories and getting a sense about yourself of just like, oh, what is this? And healing that, being witness, talk it through, you know, just becoming aware of this multidimensional of ourselves, of becoming aware as releasing it, letting go, healing it. And then that impacts us to, like you said, for your workshop, you know, become that radiant feminine power. And I love that word, women's radiance. I mean, and what does that look like? And for ourselves, what does it mean for me to be radiant? And that means being in passion for what I want to live in my life right now, feeling the passion, what excites me.
Well, and I think, you know, radiance itself, you know, is such an energetic word. And when I talk about the soul, people ask me, okay, what is the definition of the soul to you? And I say it's the essence of who we are. So at the very basic level, it's the essence of who we are. But if our human life is feeling clouded or wilty or tired or broken, well, then the radiance within us is not going to be as high as it could be. And so, you know, my whole model is about learning to clean out what's not working and what is clouding you or keeping you from being radiant. And then also learning how to proactively add things into your life that would help you feel more radiant. And so the women's radiance, you know, this is such an incredible time for women. I'm so excited for what's happening for women right now. And like I said earlier, I think it's unstoppable. But that whole women's radiance, we are really getting to that point where we are coming into our own and we're finding our voices and we're finding our personal power. And we really are harnessing that truth within us. And it's beautiful. And so that alignment piece, you know, when I say alignment, we can't really feel fully radiant if our lives are misaligned to the point where it's dimming us. So, you know, there's so many different angles and layers of this whole soul health thing that I think everybody resonates with a different part of it until they, you know, create the path to their own alignment and radiance. It's just a fun process for me to help people, you know, get to that point of evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so getting that word evolution, you know, and we're going through a big evolutionary time. It seems like it's we're on the brink of maybe a new human model. I mean, we catch glimpses of it. We have different people in the new thought field or mind, body, spirit fields that are bringing these ideas to us, bringing this concept of, I'm thinking of people that we've had a woman of wisdom before, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Jean Houston, you know, they're all working towards having us work into this idea of that there could be a new evolutionary model of what the humans, what does it mean to be human? And mm-hmm. I think we're in a way where maybe we're wanting something different because look at what's happening in the world, which brings me the question, how might you apply your soul health model to something going on in the news today? I mean, there is so much going on in the news today. How do you apply that to, you know, within this soul health model so that we have healthy responses to what is going on and maybe a healthier impact on what's going on?
Yeah, and Chris, that's an excellent question, and I get asked this question in my therapy practice pretty much every day. You know, one of the things that I've said is that our current government is basically the embodiment of everything that we are trying to and have been trying to outgrow. And so that's why so many people are kind of really challenged with what's happening and watching the news. And so, you know, when I use the word evolution, which I use it often, like I said, there, you know, our current administration seems to be everything, representing everything that we've been trying to outgrow. So when I talk about soul health, you know, to me, our media right now is just really doing no more than mirroring what we are supposed to be outgrowing. So staying in our truth, staying aligned, not letting ourselves get misaligned or derailed from kind of our voice or our truth. I think that's a big part of this. I think taking, you know, for lack of a better word or phrase, you know, taking the high road, you know, not getting pulled into the darkness, but staying in our own radiance and our own light in a good way. You know, there's a lot to be frustrated and angry about, and yet that's not constructive. And also that is not a feminine way of handling things. You know, calm and direct is feminine. Angry and loud and obnoxious is not. And so I think we're having this interesting wrestling match with, you know, how we evolve, because I think some women think that we have to get more like men in order to be, you know, up there in front of people. But really, the feminine energy is about staying calm and direct. And so it's this interesting, like you said, kind of shift in our viewing right now. And, you know, I don't know anybody who would say that any woman who hasn't been kind of challenged with how to stay in their integrity or how to stay kind of true to themselves with all this, you know, process over the last several years that we've been launching in the news, because there's a lot to be frustrated about. But I think it's taking that step further to stay very true, listen to themselves, listen to what will keep them aligned moment by moment. Because boy, every night when you watch the national news, there's something else to get a little bit stirred by. And you know, 2019 seems to be starting out as one of those clearing out years that I think it just seems like there's this energy right now of shaking people kind of at that core level of, okay, what is the residual stuff that we're still supposed to be cleaning out and evolving beyond? And, you know, it seems like, you know, this year has already kind of stirred up quite a bit, but women in particular are rising above a lot of this and realizing that they just need to keep growing and evolving beyond it. So it's really beautiful. I keep saying that this is a very beautifully ugly time.
Beautiful, ugly time. Well, and this is why it's important to be at places like Women of Wisdom, where you connect with other women who are also working on their issues, working on their soul health in a broad sense, because we need that witnessing, we need that sharing, we need examples what other people are doing and going, oh wow, I could do that too, that person's doing that, why am I not doing that, I could do that, because we stop ourselves thinking that we couldn't do it. But when you see somebody else who's, you know, no more smarter than we are or whatever, you know, because we compare ourselves and go, I'm not as smart as her, I can't do that. Well, that's not true. And we do things in our own way. We have our unique gifts. But it coming together, it just, it allows us to talk and share discover, find out what's going on out there instead of being isolated and kind of thinking everything's horrible out there. Well, it's not. We're not hearing the good news. We're not hearing the hope stories, and we need to hear those. And so it's like finding news elsewhere, reading up in other sources where you can see what's going on that are impacting our world in a very positive way, instead of what we're getting in the general, mass market news, our right. usual media stream. It's a very exciting time to be a woman and to really hear the stories and to be sharing our own stories. I mean, I talk about it a lot. It's time to share our stories. It's time to go inside and discover. I mean, I used to think way back, I think it was 20 years ago, I didn't have a story to tell. And I thought, where's that thought coming from? I've traveled around the world. I started Women of Wisdom. Why do I think I don't have a story? Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I was at women's camp where they had story night. It took me 5 years to speak up. because we all think that, I think. We're like, I don't have a story. Look at that. That person has that great story. That was a very poignant, very, very funny, very, and we don't think we have that. Well, every story matters. And when we share it, whenever I share a story, I found if I feel that nudge to speak up and it, be a nudge like, okay, you should say this, and you kind of wonder why, invariably someone comes up to me and goes, thank you for sharing that. That somebody else felt this way, or it empowered them to think a new way or whatever. And we can't judge it. And so I've said before, it can be selfish to not share a story because we're just holding it in for ourselves. Right. And it's really for us, for the world, to share to the world our stories and let them be heard, because it will make, if it only needs to make a difference in one person's life, it's worthwhile. It's a worthwhile story.
Right. Yeah. And Chris, I love that. And I think, I think historically women have always been hushed and haven't been allowed, to really share their stories amongst anybody other than the people, in those close quarters. So it's such a beautiful time in our evolution that, you're speaking this, and, we're seeing more and more books of women in power coming out. And I don't mean control power, I just mean personal power. And it's just beautiful. And so I think there is a whole new evolution happening that is allowing women to, as you said, spark their own creative power and really move beyond some old ways of kind of not being able to do that just societally. So it's a beautiful time. And yes, absolutely, coming together with a group of women, that communal energy is just beautiful to be in.
Yeah, so if you haven't experienced it, I mean, I encourage everybody who's listening to try it out, to come. Because I've said this in another interview, but we used to have these pampering days, and we used to have a really big pampering day way back in the early 2000s, and sitting with some young teenage girls who had never been around just women. And this girl was just in tears and so impacted by being with other women. And she was with her teenage friends, but she, the whole place was just all women. There must've been 400 people there that day. And it was just, it was such something to witness, like, this is really impactful for people. And to value it, to not take it for granted. I mean, sometimes for maybe us who have been in women's groups for a long time, we can kind of take it for granted because it's what we've been doing for so long. But the impact on other people who are new to it is important, that we're doing it for others, not just for ourselves. We're reaching out to others who are needing that to make that connection. And that's one thing that does happen at a place like Women of Wisdom. I'm sure there's other women's events and conferences too that do this, but it's making the connections and making new friends. And, lots of changes in people's lives happen because you are witnessed and you start to explore, well, what is it I want to do with my life? And at any age, we're in transitions. A lot of older people are in transition. Okay, what next? I retired. What's next? Or young people, well, what is my career to do? You're changing from being the mom, the kids are out of the home now. What are you going to do? So at any age, there's transitions to go through, and being around other supportive women to explore that just makes a very creative, dynamic place to be. And that's what Woman Wisdom is about. So I'm so glad that you're going to be with us here and sharing your soul health and your wisdom and stories with everybody. And just so for people who are listening, The presenters, most of the presenters are there all weekend. So you can sit and have lunch, meals with them. Like, you know, we're having these community meals, community activities. We have a fabulous banquet Saturday night. The speaker, Sukon Nemanya, and a fabulous singer, Naomi Wachira, and she's from Kenya, an Afro folk singer, and she's just marvelous and beautiful. And just having that shared time together is just a wonderful connection. So I encourage everybody to check it all out at womanofwisdom.org. Registration is very open. You just select the workshops you want to attend. There's 3-hour in-depth workshops in addition to our community activities. So it's really a lot of time to go into some of the topics. Some are very, they're like Catherine's being on soul health and kind of a holistic approach. There are some that are more creative arts, making a rattle or making a mandala or a poetry or writing your story. There's so many different topics, so you can just choose which ones you want to go to. So everybody go check out the website, womanofwisdom.org, and register. Registration is open online through February 13th. And then there is registration on site if you drop in. It's important to register beforehand because we have meals and food to order and all that. So, okay. Anyway, so thanks so much, Catherine, for being on the show today. We look forward to seeing
Absolutely.
You in a
Thank
couple
you.
Weeks.
Sounds okay, great. Well, I'm excited to see you again.
Yes, me too. And so everybody have a great day. Enjoy the snow here in Seattle while it lasts. It's going to be sunny and, you know, won't be how long around here for very long. Okay, we'll be back Wednesday with another episode with another Woman of Wisdom presenter. So stay tuned. Bye-bye.